Hallelujah. Isn't the Father good to us? That was absolutely an incredible word last night. The Father's been so good to us. Incredible word after incredible word after incredible word. That's a little hard to say three times in a row. But I want to start this off. Ooh, it's already coming. I want to start this off with a testimony. You know, because the Father's good. And if we have one, we should definitely bring it to the table. And let's just say, and he dropped this in my spirit during worship. Let's just call it, I had a meeting at the olive tree. You see, Monday rolled around real quick. And I could tell y'all right now, more now than ever, I've been taking this walk more and more seriously.
Thank you.
And giving it more and more to him. And it's been challenging. But we feed and we grow. And I was getting put through the ringer because whenever you want to feed and grow, the enemy wants to slow you down. And the first place he's going to attack is your house. Your house is where you live. This is your house. And we'll get to that later on. But quite literally, as I'm praying to the Father in the garbage truck, doing my route, I know it like the back of my hand now. It's almost muscle memory, going down every lane, backing up, and doing all that in a ritualistic way. And I'm coming up to Olivia Lane. That's one of them lanes I got to back down because it don't have a pull through because it's blocked off where Dad's restaurant's at. And I was backing down. I was praying to the Father. I was like, Father, this is the most challenging part. It's just dealing with the thoughts. It's like, you will lead and guide me. I need to know what it is that I'm missing. I want to know what the next part is for me because I want to keep growing. And I kept praying. I kept praying, praying. So I'm backing up, and then I start pulling forward. I'm picking up the cans. I'm praying, picking up the cans. I'm praying. And I stop at one can. I'm still praying. What is it, Father? What do I need? And I look to my left, and I look down. It's this little elderly woman in a red shirt, white hair, glasses, just smiling at me. And I'm just like, how'd you get there? So I'm praying. And I rolled down the window because she did like that. And then she reached in her pocket. In the middle of praying, now I'm sure some of y'all know what this is. So it's a cross in a pocket. I've never seen anything like this. I've never heard of it. But I began to weep immediately after she handed it to me. Because sometimes whenever we feel like we're missing it, we know who we can go to. And without even reading the paper, I started weeping. I said, ma'am, you have no idea what you just did. I said, the Father's reminding me right now about how we're supposed to be the light of the world. And this world is full of darkness right now. And you just brought light into my world. And I thank you for that, man. The Father loves you. The Messiah loves you. And I'm driving along, right? I'm thinking. I'm like, this is pretty significant. And I was like, oh, wait, there's a paper in here. And it's a neat little poem. So I'm going to go ahead and read it to everyone. Says, the cross in my pocket. I carry a cross in my pocket, a simple reminder to me of the fact that I am a Christian. No matter where I may be, this little cross is not magic, nor is it a good luck charm. It isn't meant to protect me from every physical harm. But when I put my hand in my pocket to bring out my coin or key, the cross is there to remind me of the price he paid for me. It reminds me, too, to be thankful for my blessings day by day. We honestly go through minor afflictions, and we let those minor afflictions get in the way of the development of our relationship with where he wants to take us to, because he is our shepherd. And that's what he laid on my heart this week, in totality. So when we go into these scriptures, it's about shepherds, farmers, people that took care of this beautiful earth that the Father created for us to take care of. Because he wants us to point into that direction. And I said, Father, I know nothing about neither. I come from a long line of German farmers. Excellent farmers. Efficiency with bad attitude. But I know nothing about shepherding or farming. I was removed. So I prayed to the Father and the understanding of that. And that's ultimately where he led me. But to continue, it's not finished. It says, to remind me to be thankful for my blessings day by day and strive to serve him better. And all that I do and say, there's so much power in our tongue. It's also a daily reminder of the peace and comfort I share with all who know my master and give themselves to his care. So I carry a cross in my pocket, reminding me no one but me that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, if only I let him be, if only I let him be. So what's interesting is this morning, as I was getting ready, and the Father was reminding me of this, there's something significant about Olivia Lane. Olivia is the Latin word for olive tree. And I want to be encouraged to encourage y'all, each and every one of us. He wants to meet us at that olive tree. He wants us to have those experiences, but we got to cry out to him. We got to put up a good fight. We got to keep pressing forward and not try and get completely taken over, because the enemy is always going to attack the house. Because if he can get to the house, he can get to the rest of the neighborhood. And it's just it's a real thing. Now, when we go into this word, I also was working very diligently. As I made mention before, that I wanted to try and put my notes into slide form. So this isn't technically new slides. This is just making it easier on Brother Rob whenever it comes to presentation, so that way everybody can see it and I'm not jumping from one app to another app, because I like pictures and I want to immerse everyone in the way that the Father deals with me and my growth. So go ahead and connect. And I can attest, it takes a lot of your time up. Yeah, it does. Oh, my goodness. Oh. The Good Shepherd, Messiah Yeshua, knows from Torah portion, Vayetze, he went out. And before we go ahead and start reading, I'd like to call it a review, but it's a review best to my capabilities, but of course, I'm not relying on only myself. And it was so incredible last night to hear Pastor just bring it forth. You hear the passion and the love and the anointing. And it makes you want to grow. And you see, the Father has put everyone in our lives so that way we can grow from one another. But none of the growth would be possible if it wasn't for the Messiah. If it wasn't for the Father. And we're always going to give him all the glory and the honor. So, now we're looking more at Jacob's life. And we know that Jacob ultimately is just like each and every one of us. Dealt with a lot of struggle, made some poor decisions that ultimately came from deceit, that affected his life in a way that he had to flee from it. And there was a lot of things that unfolded in that span that was taking place. But it says in Genesis 29, verse 1, and Jacob moved on and came to the land of the people of the east. And last night we were able to see through a diagram on a map where his journey began and went all the way north to Haran, 400 miles. And Pastor asked a question, any of us ran 400 miles? No, I definitely have not. I probably haven't barely even walked that. I don't even think David Goggins ran that much. I knew Eli would get a kick out of that because he probably knew I was going there too. But ultimately, we should be able to begin the process of putting ourselves in their shoes. and realizing that what they went through, we can relate to, and sometimes it's much, much more than what we can relate to. But what's interesting, too, to be reminded of, early in his running to Haran, he was met with Esau's grandsons, or sons, and was robbed of everything. And mind you, he's a shepherd. Imagine the mental totality that takes on a person's mind, that you know your sole purpose, and that your genuine craft that you love is taken from you. And you got to keep pressing forward, because ultimately the Father's going to want us to have an encounter on the way. But we can't have any false finish lines with that encounter. We got to keep going and keep learning and embracing whatever it is that he has for us. So towards the end of that, and he looked and saw a well in a field. And we know last night there's a key significance of well. It also represents a gate as in a gate in the city. And we learned that gate in the city is ultimately a place where judgment, marriages, and a lot of covenants are made. So ultimately, we know that it's already in his mind that this is something that he's looking for. And after a journey like that, there's going to be a big, old, overwhelming feeling of relief. And saw three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks, and a large stone was on the well's mouth. And interestingly enough, Pastor pointed out to us that the three flocks ultimately represent congregations. And the well is the source of life. And it's capped off. Now, ultimately, these congregations, the sheep, can represent the righteous, the unrighteous, and the undecided. So, ultimately, we know that even however we perceive things, that source of life, that well, is for everyone. Because at one point, or at some point, that we ultimately fall into one of those categories that we either got to overcome or strive or maintain through. And all the flocks would be gathered there. Then they would roll the stone from the well's mouth and water the sheep, and put the stone back in the place of the well's mouth. So Jacob said to them, "My brothers, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran." I'm sure that's whenever he got that overwhelming rush of peace. But interestingly enough, this is the verse that captivated me throughout this week. And we're going to look further into it after we get more of the context established. But what I thought was interesting is, this is "my brothers, where are you from?" is a dead giveaway of, like, you don't know these people, but you're associating with them. There's something about them you're associating with. And the key obvious thing is a shepherd recognizes shepherds. And that's something that resonated with me, because ultimately, even if people are in bike, like, my first thought was biker gangs, you know, they're just rolling up at the gas station and they're just looking at each other like, "Yeah, we know. We part of the same crew. Where are you from?" So there's some type of recognition and establishment that we can draw from that. And he said to them, "Do you know Laban, son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." Now, that was a pretty interesting breakdown on how Pastor broke it down ultimately whenever it comes to son of Nahor. Because as we learn, we know that the grandfathers are established as the heads of the tribe. And the father is ultimately over the tribe that's established. So we know that Laban's grandfather is Nahor. And there's usually a lot of confusion, or people that just want to cherry pick or pick it apart kind of get a little distraught over it, because you have to understand the Hebraic culture behind that. And I can tell you, this is definitely a rough draft review, but I highly encourage everyone to go listen to the recording from last night's service, because it really is impactful. So he said to them, "Is he well?" And they said, "Well," which we know as shalom, completeness. And he said, and "see, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep." And he said, "See, it is high day," or in other words, it's really hot. Not the time for livestock to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them. Now, this also ultimately is a key indicator of growth, because you see his concern for the flocks. You see his heart, that he loves the sheep, that he's taken the knowledge that he's gained and applying it to the situation that he sees. But they said, "We are not allowed until all the flocks are gathered together and they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we shall water the sheep." And I can tell you right now, when pastors say one man, one stone, it should light off a bunch of different situations that we know that happened in Scripture. Because like we said before, the flocks, the congregations, seeking that source of living water, were gathered there, and we needed a man to come and roll that stone and give us access to that living water, to that life that replenishes us and actually gives us fulfillment in this life. While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to be when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, then the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone of the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Really emphasizing his mother's brother, because they want us to get the complete structure of who's who and how the household structure is formed and seen in the eyes of Almighty Yah. And the pastor did a phenomenal job breaking it down and explaining it to where we can understand that structure. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And when Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative, that he was Rivka's son, she ran and told her father. And this experience ultimately paints the picture of the fact that whenever Yeshua Messiah rose and the disciples were able to witness this and actually realize that they're the true bride of Messiah and go and run with joy and tell the world, is the ultimate reflection of what's taking place here. And it came to be when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these matters. We know good old Uncle Laban is definitely more than excited for another blessed seed to be in his presence. Because he's sitting there with the money pitchers out, money, 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 money. But, as we know and learn, good old Jacob showed up broke. The t-shirt on his back and a whole lot of love in his heart. A lot of encouragement, especially after that anointed rock experience with the ladder. So, we can really see Laban's heart issue. He's got a heart of gold. Only gold. Only. It done sank somewhere the heart don't belong. But we'll move on. And Laban said to him, "You are indeed my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him for a new moon, a month. And Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for naught? Let me know, what should your wages be?" Laban already knew, because Jacob was locked on to Rachel. He's like, "What will your wages be?" And as Pastor said last night, he said it reminded him of the Grinch, when the Grinch was like that. It went like that. Well, and of course, the Grinch I think of is Jim Carrey with all the nonsense, all the extra stuff he does. I don't want to get too carried away with it, because the last time I did something with my neck, almost threw it out of alignment. So I get a little too carried away sometimes. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and redirect ourselves to the direction that the Father was working on me. And ultimately, that's what I'm going to be able to share. Because through that testimony I shared this morning, it was a realization that really sank in. It was a timely testimony with the timely word that we are getting to receive in our lives, that ultimately the Father really wants me, and I'm sure anyone else that's willing, to learn more about shepherding and to understand shepherds. So starting with the verse 4 of 29 is whenever Jacob said to them, "My brothers, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran," which I said earlier relates and greets them based on what they do for a living. In this case, it's shepherding flocks. We're going to take a deeper look into what it's like shepherding flocks. And I'm sure it's going to sound familiar from our experiences. But Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Yehuda, and David were all shepherds, just to name a few, a long line of shepherds, leading to our chief shepherd, Yeshua, the shepherd of our souls. Of course, obviously, I have a comparison picture there. As we can see, through that valley, we have the sheep, and through another valley, we have the sheep of Almighty Yah. And that's what we are. We are some sheep. Now, there are some specific sheep that we're going to be looking at. So I'm going to let y'all decide on what sheep you want to be, but I'm going to be that specific sheep, a fat tail. And it's an interesting breed because, interestingly enough, I'm getting ahead of myself. Flock of Jehovah. So Ezekiel 34, 31, we're going to full circle this bad boy towards the end. "And you, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your Elohim, declares the Master Jehovah." There's the fat tail. So, John 10, 4, "And when he has brought out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." And interestingly enough, fat tail sheep are unique because they instinctively follow the voice of their shepherd. And it's so interesting to see that because we know ultimately from what's been said, and I'm sure if you watch any videos or listen to anyone that actually shepherds sheep, sheep can be stubborn. They can get themselves in a whole lot of trouble, and they even make conscious decisions on their own to leave sometimes. And that's a heartbreaking thing, and we're going to approach that area, and we're going to look and see how quite literally that everything lines up with the scriptures and whenever it comes to shepherding, and it's beautiful. So more about sheep. So sheep don't know where to find safe grazing land to find water or shelter. Only the shepherd knows where all needs of the flock can be met. He calls on them to lead them to food, drink, and protection. The only way we're going to be able to feed and grow is if we continue to follow the shepherd to food, drink, and protection. It's always for the betterment of our lives. But we know how the world works. It's going to try and distract you. It's going to try and take you off course. It's going to attack your house. And ultimately, we're seeing the residual effects of Jacob's life unfolding of what happens whenever the house got attacked because they panicked in a situation whenever it came to the blessing. And ultimately, we see all the way up until now, we don't even see Jehovah, the Tetragrammaton, or any of his names involved. And that's a real eye-opener for us. Because ultimately, sometimes we think it's just enough to do, and this is coming from the heart. Sometimes we just think it's enough to do a ritualistic prayer in the morning. Or we just do our set motion things, and we think it's enough. But then our heart grows cold, because the relationship's not developing. Imagine in a marriage where you're just living together. You just become roommates. It's not doing any justice to what the marriage is supposed to look like. And that's the thing about our shepherd. He wants us to be married to him because he's committed to us. And he's given us everything in our life to succeed and to be able to grow and feed. So we just have to follow him and trust. John 10, 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So most of the year in Israel, the food is scarce, and the shepherds have to lead them great distances to keep them fed. You imagine the toil and the task that takes. Because there's plenty of times where it feels like, as we're going through the wilderness, "Oh, I'm tired of the manna," or, oh man, when are we going to get to those green pastures? When are we going to get to the promises? When are we going to get to this? When are we going to get to that? We just got to trust and keep following. Because it's there. It's on its way. And we're literally about to look at it. So for a short time during the rainy season, the pastures become lush. So thank Almighty Yah for the rain. Sometimes it might seem like a little much more than necessary, but he knows what's necessary. Because he's trying to make sure we're lush and we're enjoying the fruits and vegetables of our labor. Only during those conditions, well-fed sheep can lay down and rest. So this is the time of rest and peace and feasting. John 6:35, and Yeshua said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not get hungry at all, and he who believes in me shall not get thirsty at all. Hallelujah. Because it's our belief in him that's going to protect our house. That's the ADT or the whatever home security system that you got going on. You know the code. Don't give the code to the enemy. That defeats the purpose of having a security system in the first place. Got to protect our belief. Got to protect the house. Because the inner thoughts are our house. The inner thoughts. And that's where Almighty Yah had me so locked in. Because that's what we need if we want to receive it. So we've got to protect the inner thoughts. Because whatever your thoughts are is your household. This, I want to commit it to memory, and I'm sure a lot of us know this is a very popular Psalms. Psalms 23. Yehovah is my shepherd. I do not lack. And every time that I had a situation come up, every time I had a moment or a thought trying to rob me of my peace, I was reminded to go to this. And so it was singed and embedded into my mind. I'm going to keep going to it. Yehovah is my shepherd. I do not lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He turns back my being. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread before me a table in the face of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. That's the olive tree appointment. My cup runs over. Only goodness and loving commitment follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of Yehovah to the length of days. Because I can tell you right now, his house is so much better than the nonsense that comes from the other house. So much better. And ultimately, the thing is, I wouldn't have been able to see this if it wasn't for the striving, if it wasn't for the continuing and pushing, if it wasn't for the portion that we're in right now at the right time in the right season of my life. Because if anybody's going to receive it, I'll definitely receive it because I need it. And I want the Father to continually be with me. I want to continually break the chains of any curses that may have been put upon me from generations or from stupid decisions that I may have made, so that way we can actually have breakthrough. That way we can actually have wisdom and discernment of knowing whenever Laban's come around the corner and try and, you know, pull you in. And get his hands on you. The shepherd leads us to deep wells. And we've definitely been looking at some deep wells. Most water is found at the bottom of deep wells and have to be drawn up to the flock to drink. Therefore, sheep and goats have to completely rely on the shepherd for water. Now imagine, even a small flock, what kind of task this would be to continually pulling up a deep well, more than likely a 5-gallon bucket. We'll talk about some strong shoulders. Better recruit that back too. But that's the reality of it, because our back represents structure and support. Our shoulders represents burdens. So imagine that. Imagine that. Having to carry the weight of the burdens of the people because of the heart that the Father has given you. John chapter 7, verse 37. And on the last day, the great day of the festival, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me, and let him who believes in me drink." The enemy of sheep. That's one ugly looking wolf. Sheep on their way, sheep on their own are completely defenseless. The number one enemy is the wolf. Even gazelles, being swift and alert, still fall prey to wolves, leaving sheep really no chance unless they got their shepherd. So that's the key thing that I learned about. I didn't even know. I thought wolves were all bad and bold on their own, but apparently not. So how is the sheep protected from the wolves? Interestingly enough, it's the very scent or presence of their shepherd that scares them off. And these things are subtle, simple, but these are the things I had to be reminded of, that I had to make sure that I embed in my mind, that every time I go to fight my battles, I got to stop putting them things up, because I was trying to do things myself. I had a little bit of Laban going on with me, because that's what Laban represents, is ultimately the picture of people taking things and trying to handle it themselves, and it becomes prideful. And that's something else we're going to look at. Something else to ponder about and think about is pridefulness versus purpose. Because we were created with a purpose and a design. Pridefulness tries to add a little extra decoration to that purpose. And Almighty God doesn't need our help with that. And that's what we're seeing ultimately in this chapter. We're seeing how the situation can unfold. Even though he's working everything out for Jacob's situation, he's ultimately allowing things to take place in his life so that way he can be taken to a school of discipline. And on the topic of trying to fight your own battles, I'm going to remind of Mike Tyson. Say, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. Exactly how he would say it, too. So, and he's speaking from experience. He's successful. So we all got a plan until we get bit by a wolf, until we get punched in the face. You better hope that plan involved having a shepherd around, because he's the only one that's going to handle it. And my Mike Tyson impression was on point, and it was recorded. I better watch it. He don't like that. He might come beat me up. He's still fighting. Anyway, that's wild. So, I digress. So, reiterating Psalms 23, verse 4. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, his presence. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And this is what the Father wanted Jacob to see, just to go to him, just to trust him in the decision-making processes. Because honestly, every time I'm involved in my own decision-making processes, even though I'm an adult, I just turned 31, I tend to still make stupid decisions. Who would have thought? I'm going to move on from that. So, and this is beautiful. This imagery is really important to encapsulate in our mind, the sheep pen. Wolves will often attack at night. So the shepherd will lead them, will lead the sheep into a sheep pen. And notice that sheep pen's built with stones, unhewn. It's beautiful. Sheep pens are raised walls that come together and make a narrow opening where the shepherd spends the night. So what's interesting about that? Keep that in mind about the walls. So Jacob said to them, "My brothers." What's the Hebrew word for brothers? It's ach, which means brother. Right, when you break it down a little bit further, the aleph and the het, the wall. You combine these two, it means strong wall. In Hebrew thought, a wall is more than a vertical barrier, but anything that separates or divides The hearth around the fire protected the house from the heat and the embers of the fire. But just taking a moment and chewing on brothers being a strong wall, that's the standard that we ultimately have to have, continually. And we see that so well balanced out in Scripture. And there is a scripture that comes to mind that we are going to get to that is in the slides about being able to distinguish one another. Because it's got to be much more than the tzitzits. It's got to be much more than the Shabbats and Shaloms, the Hebrew speech. It's got to be much more than us keeping the feast days. It's got to be much more than those things that we get to be blessed with partaking in because of our understanding. But it's about the unity and the strength of the wall. Because if one area of the wall is weak, then there's compromise. But how do we approach that compromise? How do we approach that breach? Were we not called to be restorers of a breach? Places to dwell in. It could match so many different things. That's how the Father works. So many different levels. But this weighed on me so greatly. Because I'm thankful. I'm thankful for everyone that he has put in my life to be able to grow with and to be able to ultimately become that wall for the sheepfold. But sometimes there's situations that take place that put damage to the wall. And that's our due diligence to make sure that that wall gets repaired. Because every part of that wall is important. Every single part. And that should be our key focus. And how we do it is everything about how we recognize one another. He recognized them by their shepherding. We got to recognize each other by the mark of a true Christian. And we're going to get to that area in a second, but let's go ahead and cover more on this hearth. I said it wrong, hearth. Because I knew nothing about it, even though I have one in my house. I don't call it a hearth. I call it the raised up area next to the fireplace. So... That's a strong sword, I guess. I don't know. But we get the imagery of where hearth's at. It's a foundation next to the fireplace that's separating anything bad from happening in the rest of the house. It's a protector of the house. So the definition of a hearth, or the description of its purpose. A fireplace hearth is the floor or ledge of your fireplace that extends into the room, as well as the wall around the fireplace. Hearths essentially were created to serve a purpose rather than strictly as decoration. They make the fireplace area a safe place and also prevent house fires. So ultimately, if that's our duty as brothers, as shepherds, we have to make sure that we're standing here. And the beautiful thing is, right where I'm standing at, of course, I know what it's called now. It's a hearth. So I got up out my chair, went over to the fireplace, and I stood on the hearth. And I was facing the living room. And I was like, be the hearth. So I'm a hearthel. But so I'm going to stop. So, but the key takeaway from it when I'm standing there is I'm facing the living room. I'm facing the living room. And then it hit me. The living room is where the family congregates. The living room is where everyone comes together and shares experiences and ultimately loves one another, depending on the household situation here, because that's where it all begins. But the brothers, the shepherds, it's their job to make sure that things don't get out of hand, that the walls are not compromised, and that we protect the house from any house fires. Because what can kindle a fire is the tongue. The tongue. So we've got to make sure this tongue is in much communication as possible with our chief shepherd that's in charge. Because ultimately, he got that fire extinguisher power. And it's genuinely a task, because a lot of times I see that naturally I could use work as a perfect example, is we reason sometimes amongst ourselves about certain situations that are taking place And we want to come up with a solution to the problem. But if we lean too much towards the flesh, it'll ultimately make the chances of a house fire worse. And then if we lean towards the Father, those chances are squat, because he's the one that sets the fire regulations and guidelines for the household. Pride versus purpose. A feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements, one's own abilities is pride. One's own self-edification, one's own glory. The achievements of those with whom is one is closely associated, or from qualities or possessions that widely are admired. So Laban is a perfect example. It's all about self. It's all about wanting possessions. It's the one's own authority, own capability. And purpose, the reason for which something is done or created, for which something exists. And that's simple enough. We exist for a purpose. We were created for a reason. We got to make sure that we seek out that purpose and reason, so that way we don't try and take things into our own hands. Because ultimately, that's when we reap corruption, because we're sowing to the flesh. Interestingly enough, I didn't find any direct connection using the Strong's app. But whenever you say ach, it should remind you of the ruach, because it is the same plug-in, which is the spirit. And all in all, we got to keep that picture of the walls around the sheep and the sheepfold, the pen. And mind you, let's not lose sight of the fact that this is all dealing with being able to see and look into the life of a shepherd, to better understand the shepherd, so that way we know what is ultimately required of us in our walk as shepherds and shepherdesses. But the pictograph is a resh and a picture of a head of a man, and the het is a picture of a wall, inside from the outside. That's what it separates. Combine these mean man outside. The responsibilities of a nomad outside the tent include feeding, watering, and caring for the livestock. Livestock are healthier and more productive when on a routine. Thank Almighty Yah, we got a routine. Shabbat to Shabbat, feast days, we got some things locked in. We have a little extra too with Bible study. It's all for our feeding and our growing. And I'm thankful for it, because ultimately, from where I started as a knucklehead that could barely even concentrate for 10 seconds because he was too caught up with himself and all his problems, to someone that is able to start to see even clearer and clearer and clearer and have more peace because of the striving of clinging on to him. Amen. And that ultimately is the benefit of relying on your shepherd. Amen. And the brothers and the sisters, because we all are part of this wall. It's the brotherhood, that sense of fellowship, of coming together. So, what's interesting about brothers' first mention reminds us of brother's keeper. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, we are each other's keeper. We should care about each other enough to be able to step up to that and love one another. And again, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. And Abel became a keeper of the sheep, but Cain became a tiller of the ground. Now, ultimately, I know there's different representations of this, but the first thing that came to my mind was Abel standing there with his shepherd's staff, and another thing that came to my mind was Cain standing there with the grim reaper's scythe, even though it's more than likely not the tool he might have been using. But still, that's the imagery that came to my mind, because we got to choose between the good shepherd or death being our shepherd. When I say that he had me locked into Psalms 49, like there was no tomorrow, I could never explain it, because I tried to leave it and I would get pulled back. Tried to leave it, get pulled back. So it was a really key indicator for me. But before we get to Psalms 49, in regards to recognizing each other, in the way that we're seeing that he was able to recognize his brothers. Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 9, let love And this is our ability to recognize each other. Let love be without hypocrisy. Shrink from what is wicked. Cling to what is good. And brotherly love, tenderly loving towards one another, and appreciation, giving preference to each other. Not idle in duty, but be ardent in spirit, serving the Master. And that not idle in duty is such a real thing, because a lot of trouble and turmoil can ultimately come from too much weight bearing from different directions. And it's just a subtle thing to think about and just make sure that we're all distributing things evenly. But in appreciation, giving preference to each other. I know I backed up one, but in appreciation, giving preference to each other. And sometimes that's just the thing. It's a challenge to sometimes get out of ourselves to make sure that even if it's at an inconvenience, that we're taking our preference towards one another so that way we can protect that wall. Because sometimes we've got to pull from each other's strength. Not idle in duty, ardent in spirit, serving the Master, rejoicing in the expectancy, enduring under pressure, continuing steadfastly in prayer, imparting to the needs of the set apart ones, pursuing kindness towards strangers. This is all how we should recognize each other. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And ultimately, we know that it begins with the house, because inner thoughts literally means our approach. And we're going to see that. Our approach is everything. Because this is where it begins to decide what household you're trying to establish. And if we can truly get in a position of blessing our enemies, that's some serious breakthrough. I mean... Ultimately, Yaakov, he blessed his enemy. He didn't have to, he could have just got out of Dodge. They my wives, peace. He saw it through. That's some character development. And I didn't see that until just now. And I'm thankful for those moments with the Father. It's just the subtle things that we got to resonate with to allow it to be simple enough to apply to our own lives. And I'm trying to absorb that because it's the simple things that really help us. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be proud in mind. Do not think you're something when you're not. Because the enemy will try and do that just to ultimately get to the rest of the wall. And I can tell you as a man, I deal with that. Because sometimes you just try, it's like I said, you put them dukes up in your head. You're like, all right, Hasatan. But we were told, no, Jehovah rebuke. You try and win mental battles with that. Oh, come on. I haven't been here long enough, and that's not our requirement. Because he's the one that can convince you that's a perfect example. All it could take is a look. All it could take is a subtle whisper. All it could take is a subtle remark. And then all of a sudden there's a fire. But you don't see it because there's no smoke yet. Because it's up to the individual now that's taking on that situation, whether it's justified or not, if they're going to allow their household to change. And that's the reality of it. That's a genuine struggle. Especially whenever you do care about what people think about you. And then you got to ask yourself why. Because it is a good thing. But the why, purpose versus pride. And that's what he was dealing with me. I don't have to prove myself to anyone but him. But I have to make sure I'm serving my purpose out of love and peace with those around me in the sheepfold. Repay no one evil for evil. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. And we know he only knows what is right. If possible, on your part, be at peace with all men. If possible, He put that there because of experience. Beloved, do not revenge yourselves, but give place to the wrath, for it has been written, "Vengeance is mine; I shall repay," says Jehovah. If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink, for in doing so you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Well, I thought you said, Brother Rob, a house fire is not good. But no, in this sense, you're showing love, but you're bringing warmth to someone with a cold mind. See, for the longest time, when I first read that, I was like, man, that's tough. Yeah, they're going to get theirs. I'm going to heap some coals. No. Wrong. So how Donald does it. Wrong. So. So, I mean, this is, look, I can't explain some of the stuff that runs through this mind. Sometimes it's the television. I need to change the channel. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There it is. Psalms 133, 1. See how good and how pleasant it is for the brothers to dwell in unity. Unity. That's something that we must strive for in all consideration of all things. Because ultimately, we have a door. And we've learned so much on these things in the past few portions. But he is our door. John 10:7 and John 10:9. Yeshua therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. Whoever enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out and find pasture." Thank you, Father. The human spirit has life with God, but a soul without God is like sheep without a shepherd. When a sheep leaves its shepherd and flock by it, it's by choice. It just hurts. It hurts, you know, especially when you love people. Most lost sheep got this way by choice, though it's hard to believe. Allowing itself to be without shepherd, flock, and food, and water. Being more vulnerable to death. Psalms 119, 176. "I've strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands." That should give us hope. Because we know there are those that we hold close and dear and near to our heart that haven't forgotten his commands. And we just pray that their conscience is able to receive what it is that they need, so that way they can be able to receive the shepherding, the flock, and the food and the water that preserves them. But then you have to ask yourselves, what is in your heart? Isaiah 53, verse 6. "We all like sheep went astray, all of us. Each one has turned to his own way, and Jehovah has laid on him the crookedness of us all." Simply enough, it's a little picture from a video of a sheep that left the shepherd fold. And they kept going up the mountain, the shepherd didn't see it, and that little dude just kept on going. Almighty Yah cares about all his sheep. The righteous, the unrighteous, and the undecided. The well and the pastures are there for each and every one of us and them. And who to say who we are? Because ultimately we got to judge ourselves accordingly to what we know. This was the big one. The risk we take when we become lost. Psalms 49. You see, this is the reason it's getting to me so much, because I am thinking about those that are dear and near to my heart. But I'm also thinking about myself. Because there's a lot of times where the enemy wants to try and get that house fire burning just hot enough so you do something stupid that'll make it a lot easier for you to just leave. And that's the reality. Look how easily we get offended sometimes. But the reality is, you can't just beat up on the person that's offended. We got to ask why. We need to start getting comfortable with getting to the root of the problem. Because sometimes there's some house fires that could be prevented. And that's just the honest truth. It does damage. And that's our due diligent job as brothers and sisters of this wall to make sure that we stay unified. And that straight and narrow has the Messiah there protecting the inside. Well, we're going to look at Psalms 49. I can tell you it really humbled me in a very beautiful way. Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all you inhabitants of the world, everyone, both sons of mankind and sons of man, rich and poor together. My mouth speaks wisdom, and the meditation of my heart, the meditation of my house, brings understanding. And I've been learning truly what it means to meditate day and night. That's what I was missing. That's what I was missing. It had to be, he wants all of us in every second of our day. Because all it takes is just a little moment, a little window, a little offense, a little accident, whatever you want to call it. Then you could be on your way. We have to meditate and listen closely to the understanding. I incline my ear to a parable. I expound my riddle on a lyre. Why should I fear in the days of evil when the crookedness of my supplanters surrounds me? Dealing with crookedness first, it's perversity, and I have the Strong's up on display. And if anybody does want the signs, I can airdrop them to them if they would like them. And it's ancient Hebrew. There's that pictograph of the rope. It's a rare one. Picture of a twisted rope related to the parent. We know that's the Gaian. Nagaian, if I said that correctly. But ultimately, the reason we're breaking this down is because of this. The result of twisted actions, of deception. My supplanters, Achab, or Yachab, in a sense, a liar in wait, waiting to snatch the hill. The restraining of the hill when the state took forward. And we know we learn that looking at the name of Yaakov. He's the one that grabs the hill. He's the one that was dealing with deceit in his life, the decisions that from what he made. Those who are trusting in their riches, Laban, and who are boasting in their great wealth, Laban, a brother does not redeem anyone at all. Laban is not going to redeem Yaakov. And neither could Yaakov redeem him. Because we only have one redeemer. Because the redeemer title belongs to Yeshua, our true shepherd. And this is what it's really trying to gauge our minds to. That whether if we're dealing with deception, lies, deceit, filthy riches and gain for such, that we have to make sure that we learn and understand and continually focus. Because we know by our actions, not by our words and knowledge. We know by our actions on the fact that we'd have that true redemption. A brother does not redeem anyone at all. We can't save one another. We could just be the wall, be strong, hold the fort down, but we can't save one another. There's times where a brother might want to reach out to somebody and they're feeling it too. Then what? Well, two or three or more are gathered. He is there. Some prayer and go to your chief shepherd. A brother does not redeem anyone at all, neither give to Elohim a ransom for him. For the redemption of their lives is costly. It's much, much more than money can buy. And it shall cease forever, their deception. that he should still live forever and not see the pit. For he sees wise men die. The foolish and the ignorant both perish, and they shall leave their wealth to others. The inner thoughts are their house forever. Now he's speaking about the dead. Forever. The inner thoughts are their houses forever. Their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. But man does not remain in esteem. He is like the beasts that perish. This way of theirs is folly to them, yet their followers are pleased with their words, Selah. And that's the scary thing about it, is if we ever show any type of unbalanced judgment because of seeking for favor amongst another, we're ultimately trying to obtain riches. And not all the time those riches consist of wealth in the physical form, but it's whatever we deem as what we see as riches. So our way matters. Remember, pride versus purpose. What is the reason that you're doing what you're doing? Make sure your heart is right, because the very thing that you could be doing, whatever that may be, might not be a wrong thing that you're pursuing after. But you have to make sure what is going on in your heart, your house. And the only one that could fix that is our Messiah, if there's anything wrong. And ultimately, that's what the Father was trying to show Yaakov through the vision, through the stone, through these things. And he had still a lot of growing to do, as I know I do too in my life. But man does not remain in esteem. He is like the beast that perishes. This way of theirs is folly to them, yet their followers are pleased with their words. Selah. Inner thoughts. It's kereb. It means nearest part or the center. Charab, your approach. So literally, your inner thoughts will dictate your approach on every situation in your life. You're like, Brother Rob, that is, yeah, I know that. I think all the time. Then why do we get ourselves in trouble? Why do we still choose death to be our shepherd instead of life sometimes? I can tell you right now, you want a big medical bill? Go ahead and put 800, 900 pounds on a deadlift bar. Whenever your average might be a good 225, 200, something. You can rep out comfortably. You go up to that bar and you approach it. You got a little pride going on. I got perfect form. You get the athletic stance going, you get down there. And all of a sudden, either your arms are still on the bar and you're standing up straight, or your spine just fell out. So don't let pride get in the way of the purpose that the Father has for you. And don't try and take on more weight than what you can handle. Because sometimes I personally bite off more than I could chew. And that's all right. The Father deals with me on that. He's like, you did it again. You feel it, don't you? It hurts. And respectably, at 31, I'm not talking about weights right now. I still lift weights, but I keep it on the light side now. I call that wisdom. You know, it took a 250 Yamaha outboard motor laying on the side to rupture my distal bicep tendon to get that wisdom. So we could call that stubborn wisdom. I had some inner thought issues going on because my approach was not right. So it's just sharing a little proverb. So, but it's good. We got the blood flowing, amen. So, let's continue in this Psalms. Remember, our approach is everything. It deals with our inner thoughts. This is our household, right here. Like the sheep, they shall be laid in Sheol. I'm talking about the prideful. Death shall shepherd them, and the upright rule over them in the morning. Now that verse right there, I don't know why, it reminded me of my grandpa Bob out of California. He's a Vietnam War veteran, helicopter, POW, prisoner of war. Got a very interesting mentality. Every time I call him, I say, Grandpa Bob, how are you doing today? I make sure I'm punctual, loud, and straight to the point with that man. So, good, grandson, I'm vertical, they're horizontal, and I'm walking fine and doing great. They're like, who's horizontal? My enemies. And I was just like, all right, glad you're doing all right, Grandpa. That man is, he's got a little extra seasoning on him because of what he's been through. Yeah. I mean, he screens every phone call. Like, I'm getting into his business right now, but like, I literally call him, and it's a set routine. Voicemail, hey, Grandpa, grandson. Hey, how you doing? Let's go to voicemail time, but that's his business. I love my grandpa. He's wild. He's a very intelligent man, though. Learn a lot from him. So, the upright roll over them in the morning. Why? Because they're upright and they're not. And their form is consumed in Sheol, far from their dwelling. Remember, dwelling, literally far from their dwelling, as we just talked about, the inner thoughts. It said in the previous verse, their inner thoughts is their dwelling. Our inner thoughts is our dwelling. So just like riches, just like material things in this world, we also can't take knowledge and different things like that with us. So I think it's important to make sure that if we can get the good manna, the good knowledge, while we can and have time to receive that before embracing anything of this sort. Because ultimately, we can't take nothing with us to Sheol. But this is a primary focus on our choices. But Elohim does redeem my being from the power of Sheol. Hallelujah. But Elohim does redeem my being from the power of Sheol. For he does receive me, Selah. Why? Because he's our shepherd. And I put just a neat little depiction there. Our inner thoughts will be our approach. Our approach will show what house we've been living in. And I got a big old ugly mansion on the left, and I got a heavenly looking kingdom mansion on the right. And it's, I mean, it's simple. I laugh, I chuckle, but yet the reality of walking out through this life, it humbles you. But we got to remind ourselves what's on the line. Do not be afraid when a man becomes rich, when the wealth of his house increases. For when he dies, he takes none of it with none of it. His wealth does not go after him. Though while he lived, he blessed himself. He blessed himself. There's many a times where we get in situations where we think we're blessed, but it's because of the things that we've done. It's the bricks that we laid. Laban. Because we know when we break down that man's name, it points at that direction of the Tower of Babel. Man building up their own wealth, understanding, knowledge, and riches, only to fall at the demise. And it's a humbling thing that we should always be in prayer for. And though they praise you when you do well for yourself. So sometimes we need to be careful with who we get our acceptance and our applauses from and our advice, because it'll be a key indicator of where you're at on the spectrum of decision making. He has to go to the generation of his fathers, and they never see the light. Man who is rich yet does not understand shall be like beast. They shall perish. And mind you, this was all leading up to the moment of focusing on what happens whenever we allow ourselves to depart from the fold, from the presence of our Messiah, our shepherd. Let not death become your shepherd. The only way back is through our good shepherd, Yeshua. When a sheep is lost, its only hope is its shepherd. And I was going to put a link in here to a video that I was able to draw information from that I want everybody to watch. And it's a really good video. It's about 30 minutes long. If anybody's interested, I'll send it to them. And just sit there and allow and watch the process of the Israeli shepherds just do what they do and how much it to the key they still keep the same patterns as the ancestors before us did that we read about. And it's amazing. But in regards to our good shepherd, with his compassion, and this is something that really stood out to me, because you know and can see when someone pours out their compassion. I mean, I'm saying this in a respectful and encouraging way. I definitely seen it last night. When a man pours his passion out, you could tell whenever he has a love for the Father. It's a beautiful thing. And having seen the crowds, let me go back up to the other verse. And Yeshua went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their congregations and proclaiming the good news of the reign and healing every disease and every bodily weakness among the people. And having seen the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered as sheep having no shepherd. How do you think Yaakov felt whenever he witnessed all them sheep in the heat, the hottest part of the day, panting, looking like they're about to die, literally losing their ability to reproduce? Death was trying to shepherd them. But the Father provided a man that would come and roll, move the stone away, so that way the sheep, we can have access to living sources of water. We need to hold on to these things with everything in us and just never forget it. And you know, sometimes we have stones that need to be rolled out of our hearts too. And thankfully we have the Father that's patient with us, the potter, that takes us and gently, over time, at the right place, at the right moment, the right word, takes it out. And that's another obstacle removed out of your way from being able to serve the Father with all your heart, with all your might, with everything that's in you. Then he said to his taught ones, "The harvest is truly great, but the workers are few. Pray then that the master of the harvest would send out workers to his harvest." Let's go ahead and go to Ezekiel 34. Now we're going to read through Ezekiel 34, and we're going to literally see the process of shepherding, how Almighty Yah deals with the shepherds that are out there that aren't actually properly tending to his sheep. He sets all matters straight. "And the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus said the Master Jehovah to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and you put on the wool." Sounds like wolves in sheep's clothing to me. "You slaughter the fatlings. You do not feed the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, nor have you healed the sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back the strain, nor sought what was lost. But you have ruled them with might and harshness. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wander through all the mountains and on every high hill. And my sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of Jehovah. As I live, declares the Master Jehovah, because my flock became a prey, my flock became food for every beast of the field from not having a shepherd, and my sheep and my shepherds did not search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of Jehovah. Thus said the Master Jehovah, see, I am against the shepherds, and shall require my flock at their hand, and shall make them cease feeding the sheep. And the shepherds shall feed themselves no more, and I shall deliver my flock from their mouths, and they shall no longer be food for them. For thus said the Master Jehovah, see, I myself search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the days he is among his scattered sheep, so I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered in a day of cloud and thick darkness. And I shall bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the lands. And I shall bring them to their own land. And I shall feed them on the mountains of Israel and in the valleys and in all the dwellings of the land. In good pasture I shall feed them. And their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. They shall lie in their good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I shall feed my flock and make them lie down, declares the Master Jehovah. I shall seek out the lost and bring back the strayed. It's our great comeback. And I shall bind up the broken and strengthen that what was sick. But the fat and the strong I shall destroy. I shall feed them with right ruling. And as for you, O my flock, says, thus said the Master Jehovah, see, I am judging between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. To each their own. It is not enough for you to have eaten up the good pasture and the rest of your pasture you trample with your feet, or that you should drink of the clear waters and the rest you muddy with your feet. As for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have muddied with your feet. Therefore, thus said the Master Jehovah to them, see, I myself shall judge between fat and lean sheep. Because you have pushed with flank and shoulder and thrust all the weak ones with your horns, scattered them abroad. Therefore, I shall save my flock and let them no longer be prey. And I shall judge between sheep and sheep. I shall raise up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. And he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, Jehovah, shall be their Elohim, and my servant David, a prince in their midst. I, Jehovah, have spoken. And remember, it was at the well a covenant was established. And this is him speaking to his people as sheep and wanting to reestablish the same covenant. Because it ends with, and I shall make a covenant of peace with them, and make evil beasts cease from the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the forest. And I shall make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and shall cause showers to come down in their season. Showers of blessing they are. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am Jehovah. I have broken the bars of their yoke, and I shall deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them. And they shall no longer be preyed for nations, and beasts of the earth shall not devour them. They shall dwell safely with no one to make them afraid. And I shall raise up for them a planting place of name, and they shall no longer be consumed by hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the nations anymore. And they shall know that I, Jehovah, their Elohim, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Master Jehovah. And you, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your Elohim, declares the Master Jehovah. I know that was a bit of a lengthy read, but ultimately, when I go through these things and spend time with the Father and build and grow and absorb, there's moments where I'm just like, I could just say, y'all go and read chapter 34. But we are here for teaching, preaching, and sometimes reading. And Brother Rob could read. But when the word goes forth, it shall not come back void. Hallelujah. But just remember, as we depart on the Shabbat, and wherever we go, or he may take us, we're his sheep. He's appointed us a shepherd. And thankfully, in the heat of the day, in the heat of our worst days, He provided someone in our life that ultimately gave us access to the living water. Amen. And we thank you and love every one of you. Shabbat shalom.